We're here on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. The Mishnah on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph establishes a three-way machlokes about whether Psulei Kol are allowed to marry each other. Amongst the Psulei Kol, we have Mamzer Nesin, Mamzerim Nesinim, which are Vadai Psulim. We have Shtuki and Asufi, which are Sofek Psulim. It would seem that according to Tanakama, even the Sfeikos are allowed to marry the Vadoim. It would seem that Rabbi Yehuda in the middle is Machmir, and then Rabbi Eliezer at the end is also Machmir, because he allows Vadai and Vadai, he allows Sufik and Sufik, but doesn't allow the intermarriage of Vadai and Sufik. So the big problem here that the Sugya is addressing is, how do we understand the Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama? Where does that fit in? And how is Rabbi Yehuda different than Rabbi Eliezer? What are the three shitas to define demarcation of these three shitos? And there's an additional problem in the fact that the Mishnah back on Daf Samach Tes already establishes that Mamzeri Nesinesh Suki Vasufi Mutarim Lavo Zebuze. So if the Tanakhama here is just telling us that Vadai and Sofek, they could intermarry, that's exactly what we know from the Mishnah back on Daf Samach Tes. Why would the Mishnah here repeat that? But the focal point here is, where does Rabbi Yehuda come in? If Rabbi Yehuda is Oser, that's Vadai and Sofek, then that's exactly what Rabbi Eliezer is going to say. So then Rabbi Yehuda is not a middle Shita here. Ella, what are you going to tell me? That Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold from the Iser of Lavo Zebuzeh, then he's repeating what the Chachamim say. And yet, and Rabbi Yehuda Oser is mashma that he's arguing with the Chachamim. And at this point, the Gemara wants to assume that perhaps Rabbi Yehuda's Shita here is a reference to one specific area of Yuchsin, one isolated slice of the pie, and that's Ger and Mamzeres. And the Chachamim would allow for a Ger to mix with a Mamzeres, or a Gioris with a Mamzer, because Kahal Gerim Lo Nikra Kol, it's not considered a Kahal, and if they're out of the Kahal, then the Isurei Kol, those Isurim don't apply to them. And Rabbi Yehuda doesn't accept that Shita. We've already seen back on Daf Ayin Beis, Amud Beis, that Rabbi Yehuda denies the Shita of the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama is matir, a marriage between a Ger and a Mamzeres. Rabbi Yehuda asses it. And if that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying here in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Dalid, then we have a problem, because the Tanakhama mentioned nothing. He didn't whisper a word about a Ger. He spoke about Asurim Lavo Bakal, which certainly does not include a Ger. So why would Rabbi Yehuda be commenting and taking a stricter view with regard to a Ger, a marriage between a Ger and a Mamzeres, when the Tanakhama here didn't even whisper a word, no allusion whatsoever to Ger Mamzeres? That's very difficult. So the Gemara suggests that we have to reinterpret the language of the Tanakhama in such a way that we can understand where Rabbi Yehuda argues with the Tanakhama. And when the Tanakhama uses the phrase Kol Hasurim Lavo Bekol, he wasn't referring to Psulei Kol, but rather to Psulei Kahuna. And in the more, let's say, liberal translation or explanation of the words of the Mishnah, you have to add a word here. It's Kol Hasurim Lavo B'Kahal Kahuna. B'Kahal Kahuna. Now, if you're talking about Hasurim Lavo B'Kahal Kahuna, that already allows you to expand your list to include a Gioris as well. And the Tanakhama is telling us that a Gioris is outside the whole circle of Isurei Psul Kahal, meaning that a Ger, Gioris, which comes under what we call Kahal Kahuna, Isurei Kahuna, they are excluded from the Isurim of Kahal. And that would mean that Rabbi Yehuda is coming forward now to be machmir on the marriage between a ger and a mamzeres, if we just allow for that one liberal stretch in interpreting the words of the Mishnah. And the Tanakhama is referring not to Isurim Lava Bakal, but Isurim Lava Bakahal Kahuna. Allowing that addition and that change, we open up worlds now, and the subject of the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda is the question of Kahal Gerim. Does the Torah recognize Kahal Gerim as part of Kahal? And that would be Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And by recognizing the status of Kahal Gerim as Kahal, the Iser of Lo Yovo Mamze B'Kal Hashem applies. And that's Rabbi Yehuda's shita, that a Gioris cannot marry a Mamze, a Mamze cannot marry a Gioris. Or shall we say no, Kahal Gerim Eino Nikra Kol, that to the same extent that a Gioris is excluded from Kahal Kahuna, she's also excluded from Kahal as far as the Surei Mamzeres as Psulei Kol are concerned. But here we have, and this is the last thing we discussed in the previous Shia, we have a little bit of a Sugya B'Toch Sugya. We have a little bit of a subcategory of this Sugya, because when we talk about a Gioris, and a Gioris is Asura Lava Bakal Kahuna, we have to get into another issue within that, you know, as I say, a subcategory, a further clarification of what Gioris means. And this was a Sugya that we mentioned in passing. It's really the Iker Sugya is going to come later down the line towards the end of that Perek in Ein Ches. And that's the question of the Machlokas Shin Chachomim and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Today is, of course, the anniversary of his death. This is the yard site, the Lula Derashbi, so it's nice that we mention him. And that Machlokas revolves around the case of Gioris Pchusa Mishalosh Shanim. The Gioris took place when she was in Eino Ru'u L'Bia, it was before she became Ru'u L'Bia, before her third birthday. And what is the status of that Gioris vis-a-vis Kahuna? The Shita of Rav Shimon ben Yochai Lekula is that if she's Pchusin Basholosh at the time of her Gerus, then the Psul Kahuna doesn't apply. A Kohen is allowed to marry this girl because since the Gerus took place before she was Ruhi Labia, there's no assumption here on our part. There's no possibility even to raise the possibility. It's impossible that she became psula lakuna by virtue of an illegal bia, a bia with a nachri. Because what are we afraid of? That she had a bia with a nachri before her gerus? That's not going to register, because before her gerus, she's not ruil a bia. And therefore the bia with a goy would not passel her the kuna, that kahuna. That's the shita of Shimon bar Yochai. Whereas the Chachamim will prohibit a gioris under all circumstances, including the case of a gioris where the gioris took place before she was three, to kahuna. And the logic behind that is that even if she's eino ru'uya l'bia, and therefore there's no chash of bias akum, which would make her into a zona, nevertheless, there's a pasuk that says Almanu Gushal Yikachlem Nashim Ki Mesulam Yizera Yak Beis Yisrael, and basically what we're saying is that the Gioris is classified, and this is derived from that pasuk that I mentioned in Yechezkel Almanu Gushal Yikachlem Nashim, and that pasuk classifies a Gioris as a zona, because she was born in Geus. That the fact that she was born as a non-Jewish woman, that itself per se classifies her as a Zona, and has nothing to do with Bia. It's not the Bia's Poselos, but it's the Leda B'Geus as a non-Jewish woman. That itself establishes, generates the shame Zona. And now we go back to our Mishnah. And the way that the Amora Rabbi Yehuda presents his interpretation of the Mishnah, the the kula of the Tanakhama, the heter of the Tanakhama, that if you're not in kahal, you're allowed to marry psule kahal, and since kahal kuna is lav shmei kahal, therefore a gioris is allowed to marry a mamzer. What kind of gioris are we talking about? If we're assuming the chachamim l'shitasam, again, because l'shitasam means what we're going to learn later on, that the chachamim against Rav Shimon bar Yochai maintain that any gioris, as we said before, insofar as she was born geus, she is excluded from kahuna. So then even this gioris, whose geirus took place when she was a little tot, when she was less than 3 years old, is included in the statement of kol asurim lovo b'kal kahuna. A kohen's not allowed to marry her. She's not considered kol. And if she's not considered kol, she's allowed to marry a mamzeres. So in other words, the more, this is the relationship that we're saying, that we're setting up here. The more you're machmir in kahal kahuna, to include and expand the scope of isurei kahal kahuna, the more you're machmir in expanding the isur kahuna, the circle of those who are kahuna, the more you're mekil, right, that's the paradoxical relationship, the converse relationship, the more you're going to be mekil as far as letting that person marry a psul kol like a mamzer. So we're expanding the kula of the Rabbanon to allow a giores p'chusav yivashol shonim to marry a mamzeres. And the reason for that is because she's asura l'kuhuna, and therefore she's not part of the kol, and the iser of lo yovo mamzer b'kal Hashem doesn't apply to a giores. And the Gemara establishes that that understanding of the Tanakhama is against Rav Shimon bar Yochai. He would assume that a gioris p'chusi b'sholosh is muta l'kal kahuna, and insofar as she's muteris l'kal kahuna, she's therefore asura l'mamzer. And in a sense, what we're doing is now, our problem was interpreting the Tana Rabbi Yehuda's and his chumra against the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. What is the nature of the machlokes? Where, in what case, how do we pinpoint the machlokes? Rabbi Yehuda against the Chacham, his objection to the Chacham, and the answer is, if we make a shidduch, so to speak, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and if Rabbi Yehuda accepts Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai that a giores p'chusu v'asholosh is allowed to marry a Kohen, then certainly she's considered Kal Kahuna, and therefore she would be Asura. She would be prohibited from marrying a mamzer. But the Gemara is not happy with that. And the reason for that is, the Gemara doesn't understand, why do we have to assume up front, in Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora's interpretation of our Mishnah, why does Rabbi Yehuda have to assume that the Tanakhama is arguing with Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and the Tanakhama is talking about a giores p'chusa mibashal shanim, she's also considered asur b'kal kahuna, against Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Why not assume that the Tanakhama is talking about a case of a bashal shom v'yomechet shen is gaira, and then we can make peace and harmony between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon bar Yochai? And the Gemara answers that if we were to take that road, that path, then it would be very difficult, because then we would come to the conclusion that the Chachamim are maintaining the following split as far as the issue of Gioris marrying a mamzer. If the Geiris took place after she was 3 years old, and therefore she's excluded from Kahal Kahuna, there she's allowed to marry a Mamza. But if the Geiris took place before she was 3 years old, she's not allowed to marry a Mamza because she's Muteres, based on the Shita of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, she's Muteres la Kahuna. And the Gemara finds that intuitively unacceptable, that because her Geiris took place before she was 3 years old, therefore we should prohibit her from marrying a Mamzer. In other words, if the logic is that a Bas Shalosh Shonim is allowed to marry a Geiris Bas Shalosh Shonim, is allowed to marry a Mamzer, and the reason for that is because she's excluded from Kal Kahuna, then you're going to tell me that if she is Geiris Pchusim Bas Shalosh Shonim V'Yom Echad, that in such a case, she's not allowed to marry a Mamzer? That Sfar doesn't fit well with the Sugya. The Shas doesn't understand that because her Geiris took place at a younger year, therefore all of a sudden we're going to impose upon her an Issa to marry a Mamzer, which had she had the Geiris a little bit later on, she'd be allowed to marry a Mamzer. It just doesn't make any sense. And therefore, the Gemara is forced to assume, that's Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda the Amora, that the Tanakhama rejects Rabbi Shimon, and therefore any Geiris, even a Pchusa Mibas Sholosh Geiris, since she was born Begeus, she is prohibited from Kahuna, she's not included in Kahal Kahuna, and therefore she's not included in Kahal. And therefore she's allowed to marry Imam Zeris. And that's what the Tanakhama means when he formulated this principle, Kol Hasurim Lavo Bekalkuna Mutarim Lavo Bepsule Kohol. And that's Rabbi Yehuda. And now the Gemara is going to reject Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation of our Mishnah, that the subject of the Machlokas between Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda is Giores, as far as Imam Zer. For two reasons. First of all, the Gemara is going to ask, Klolahu, we still don't understand, even within this liberal reinterpretation of the Mishnah, how to understand the Klal of the Chachamim. The Chol Ha'asurim Lavo Bekal Kuhuna Mutarim Lavo Zeba Zeh. Because what does that mean? If you're excluded from Kal Kahuna, you're allowed to marry a Mamzer? That doesn't make any sense. Hare Almona Ugrusha Chalola Vizona. There are many different categories of Isure Kahuna, of women who cannot be married off to a Kohen, and therefore we're going to say that they too fit into the Klal of the Tanakhama, and we're going to allow them to marry a Mamzer? Are you going to tell me that an Alman is allowed to marry a Mamzer? A Grusha is allowed to marry a Mamzer? How are you reading the Mishnah? That since there are Asurim Lovo Bekal Kahuna, therefore Asurim Lovo Zebazer? Therefore, excuse me, Mutarim Lovo Zebazer? That's what you're going to have to read it. Again, going back to the Mishnah, why don't we talk called Asurim Lovo Bekal Mutarim Lovo Zebazer? That doesn't make any bit of sense. Vesu, and furthermore, and this is where we stopped in the last shiur, everything that we've done until now is just a review of the previous shiur. So if you're following in the Gemara and Daf Ayin Daled Amud Beis, you'll see the Tosfos Dibra Maskil de Tanakhama. So over below it, there's a Tosfos Mai, midway between the two. You'll see a line that starts with the word Bazeh. It's about 15 lines down from the top of the page. Visu, says the Gemara. And furthermore, Hamutar, we've been focusing our attention on the Giores and her marrying a Mamzer. Well, let's flip it around. Let's talk about a Ger, the male side of this symmetry. In the case of a Ger, according to the strict reading of our Tanakhama, of our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yehuda the Amora, it comes out, anyone who is excluded from Kahal Kahuna is allowed to marry a Mamzer. Well, let's take the case of a ger, a male ger, right? He's allowed to marry a kohenes, and you've just established that who's allowed to marry a mamzer? Only those who are psule kahuna. Now, in the case of a Giores, I understand that she is Asura love of a Kalkahuna, and therefore she's Muteris B'mamza. What are you going to say about a Ger? The Ger is Muta B'Kalkahuna. Now what that means is that a Ger is allowed to marry a Kohenes. Right? Vare Ger Muta B'Kohenes. So you can't say that he's Asurim Lovo B'Kal, the description of Asurim Lovo B'Kal Kuna doesn't apply to a Ger, to a male Ger. He's allowed to marry a Kohenes, a Bas Kohen. Umuta B'Mamzeres. And yet, if you hold that a Gioris is allowed to marry a Mamza, then clearly a Ger is allowed to marry a Mamzeres, because Kal Gerim Eino Nikra Kol. So you're in trouble now, because the interpretation that you're giving to our Tanakhama, to our Klal in our Tanakhama about Mishnah, would lead me to the conclusion that a Ger is not allowed to marry a Mamzeres. Why? Because he's Mutar B'Kohenes. And that's not true. To the same extent that a Gioris is allowed to marry a Mamzer, a Ger is allowed to marry a Mamzeres, because it's all one principle of Kahal Gerim Eino Nikra Kol. So now, we have to reject the interpretation of our Mishnah that was presented by the Amora Rabbi Yehuda and offer a substitute interpretation. Ella Amar Rav Nosson Bar Oshia. The Tanakhama has to be reinterpreted. Hachi Kamar. Kol Shekoen Osir Lisa Es Bito. The Klal of the Tanakhama of kol shekoen osur lisa es bito, umay nihu ger shenosa giores. If you have a marriage between a ger and a giores, the daughter that's born to such a marriage is not allowed to marry a kohen. Uki Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov, this is a Mishnah later on. And the Tanakhama holds that in this case, mutarim lovo zebazeh. The heter of marrying psule kol, which means a mamzer mamzeres, applies in this case, according to the Tanakhama. So who's allowed to marry the mamzer? That's the daughter of a marriage between a ger and a gioris. That since this girl is asura lekahuna, therefore, she's allowed to marry a mamzer. And again, it's another application of the rule of Kahal Gerim Lo Nikra Kahal. And it's Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah who argues, and he's Machmir, he holds that Kahal Gerim Nikra Kahal. So now the Gemara asks, Uklolahu? Even Rab Nosson Bar Oshia's interpretation of our Mishnah is difficult. To call Kohen, Kol Shekoid also Lisa's Bito Mutarim, Lovo Zeba Zevare Cholol Shenosa Bas Yisrael. If a Cholol marries a Bas Yisrael, then she, his wife, becomes a Cholola, and the daughter that's married to this marriage is a Cholola, like her father. She picks up the Psul Kahuna of her father, to Kohen also Lisa Bito, Viasurim Nami Lovo Zebaze, and yet a Cholol is not allowed to marry a Mamzer. So the Gemara answers Lokasha Ki Rab Dostoy Ben Yehuda. Rab Dostoy Ben Yehuda is of the opinion later on that if a Cholol marries a Bas Yisrael, his daughter does not pick up his Psul, the Psul of the father, the Cholos of her father, and she's allowed to marry a Kohen. And any Kohen who's not allowed to marry the daughter of a particular marriage, that daughter is allowed to marry a Mamzer, which means the case of Ger and Gioris. The daughter of the marriage relationship between a Ger and Gioris is allowed to marry a Mamzer. So now the Gemara rejects Rab Nosson Bar Oshia, Vare Cholol Shenosa Chalola. Clearly in the case where both parents are Psule Kahuna, so a Chol married a Chalola,
the Kohen also Lisa Bito, the daughter of such a marriage, even according to Rabbi Dostoy, is Asur Lakuna. She certainly picks up the status of a Cholol. Notice Rabbi Dostoy only says that if a Cholol marries a Bas Yisrael, then the daughter is Muteres Lakohen. But if a Cholol marries a Cholol, the daughter is certainly Mimonafshach, whichever Yichud she takes, her father's or her mother's, she's a Cholola. She cannot marry a Kohen. The Asur Nami Lovel Zebazen, even though the child of this marriage, the daughter is a Cholola, nevertheless, she's not allowed to marry a mamzer. Visu, and furthermore, hamutar asur vare ger shenasa bas yisrael v'kohen mutalisa bito mutarim lovo zebazeh. What about the case of a ger who marries a bas yisrael? Is then the daughter of such a marriage is allowed to marry a kohen? That's the opinion of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov later on, that we mentioned earlier. Umutarim lavo zebazeh, which means that even though the daughter is allowed to marry a kohen, which according to the klal of the Tanakhama, the way Rabbi Nosson bar Oshia understood it, would mean that since she's allowed to marry a kohen, therefore, she would be asura to a mamzer, and that's not true. In this case, this girl is allowed to marry a mamzer because of the principle of kahal gerim in a nikra kol. And even though the mother is a bas Yisrael, nevertheless, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov is of the opinion that since her father is a ger, the daughter has the status of a gioris. In other words, the way Rabbi Nosson is reading the Tanakhama, it comes out that if the daughter of this marriage is allowed to marry a Kohen, then she is not allowed to marry a Mamzer. But yet here's a case in which the daughter takes on the yichus of her father, who's a ger, and even though she's allowed to marry a Kohen, but she has the status of a gioris. That's the sheet of Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov later on. And in such a case, it comes out from Rabbi Nosson's reading of the Mishnah that since she's allowed to marry a Kohen, the girl of this the daughter of this marriage, then she's not allowed to marry a mamzer. And that's not true, because we're maintaining that kal gerim eino kohol, and since she has the status of a gioris, based on the principle that kol mokum sheish kedushin v'yena vera vlad holy chachar azochar, right? A ger is allowed to marry a bas Yisrael, so there's no iser, there's no avera in this kedushin. Therefore, the child is miyuchas to his father or her father, and in this case, to her father, she is a gioris. She'd be allowed, according to the sheet of the Tanakhama, to marry a mamzer, as a gioris is allowed to marry a mamzer, even though she is muteres lekohen. So you can't tell me that any time there's a het to lekohen, there's going to be an iser to mamzer. So now the Gemara offers another interpretation. Ela Omar Av Nachman Omar Rabba Baravua Hacha. What is the subject of the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda? Is mamzer me'achoso u'mamzer me'ishes ish. There are two types of mamzerim that we can talk about. We can talk about a mamzer who was born to a relationship of a chiyuv kares, like for example achoso, or we can talk about a mamzer who was born in an adulterous relationship with an ishes ish, where the onesh for such a relationship is a chiyuv mises bezdin. Ika be'nayu, this is the question that is being debated here between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rav Nachman. What's the status of a child born of a relationship between a brother and a sister? Can such a child marry into Kahal Yisrael, or is he considered a mamzer? Tanakhama sover afilu mamzer me'achoso nami havi mamzer. The Tanakhama holds that even in a chiyuv kares, like achoso, the child of such an avera is a mamzer. and therefore that child is allowed to marry a mamzeres, or if it's a mamzeres, she's allowed to marry a mamzer. And that's what the Mishnah means with kol hasurim lovo zebazer, means all those who are born out of a bias erva, whether it be chayvei misas pezdin or chayvei krisus, or mamzerim, is mutarim zebazeh. That's how you read the Mishnah. Again, let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, kol asurim lava bakal is mutarim lavo zebazeh. Asurim lava bakal means that there's an iser erva, which includes even achoso. And on this, Rabbi Yehuda is going to disagree. He's going to insist that mamzerus is only generated by the violation of a chiyuv misa, like in the case of Eishes Ish, but not a violation of a lower echelon, namely kares, like in the case of achosa. That does not engender mamzerus. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda oser. So the Gemara says, we've already learned that already. Such a machlokas has already been recorded in a Mishnah in Masechet Yevamos. Maikom Mashmal and Tanino, we learned in the Mishnah in Yevamos, Ezu Mamzer, according to Rabbi Akiva, Kolshu below Yavo. Now, there's any violation of any Iser in the Torah, any Bias Aver engenders Mamzerus. Shimon HaTemoni Omer Kol Shechayov Nalea Kareis Bidei Shamayim. Mamzerus is only a violation of a more severe level of a Chiyuv Kareis. And we paskin like Shimon HaTemoni, and then we have the compromise shita in the middle, the most makil shita, as far as Mamzeris is concerned, is Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Kol Shechayov Nalea Mises Bezdin. There's only one violation, one avera that can generate Mamzeris, and that's Achiyuv Misas Bezdin. So why would it be that our Mishnah would somehow secretly be recording a machlokas tanoim on an issue that's explicitly addressed in a Mishnah in Yevamos? Elo Amar Rava. Rava has a new interpretation of the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Ger Amoni Umoavi Ika Beinaihu. The machlokas here revolves about the case of Gerim Amonim Umoavim. So that we know that if an Ammoni or a Moavi becomes a convert, we accept that conversion, and we recognize it. However, they are still Asurim Lavo Bakal. And the question is, can this Ger marry a Mamzeres? Hachi Kavra. This is what the Tanakam means. Kol Hasurim Lavo Bakal Umayniu Ger Ammoni Moavi Mutarim Lavo Zebazeh. They could marry the Psule Kahal. So a Ger Ammoni is not allowed to come into the Kahal of Klal Yisrael, but since Mamzer is not part of that Kahal, he can marry a Mamzeres. And that's the Sheet of the Chachamim. The Gemara now attacks Rava. Ihachi, if that be the case, Amai Rabbi Yehuda Oser, why should Rabbi Yehuda say that the Ger Ammoni is not allowed to marry a Mamzeres? Certainly he would have to agree that this Ger is Eino Nikra Kahal, because he's not allowed to marry into the Jewish Kahal. So the Gemara answers that Hachi Kamar, the afal pisher of Yehuda oser ger b'mamzeres, hani mili ger deroy lov b'kol of a ger amoni moavi d'ein ruyim lov b'kol lo. Then in truth, there's not a machlokis here between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, but rather the comment of the Mishnah in the name of Rabbi Yehuda is a further clarification of the extent to which we want to be matir a ger amoni with a mamzeres. That even though Rabbi Yehuda, that's what the Mishnah wants to comment here in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, even though he's oser in general a ger b'mamzeres, because Rabbi Yehuda's shita is the kahal gerim nikra kol, but nevertheless, that's only a regular ger, a classical ger from any of the nations. But if this ger came from Amon Umo of these two nations, and the Torah says that such a ger is not allowed to marry into the Kahal, so therefore Kahal ger Amon Umovi lo nikra kol, And therefore, the Ger Amoni Moavi is allowed to marry a Mamzeres, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who in general, in all Gerim, with the exception of Ger Amoni Moavi, prohibits that Ger from marrying a Mamzeres, because a Ger is allowed to enter into the Kohol. Tana Rabbanan. Now at this point, the Sugya brings a Brisa that explains who are the psulim that would passel an isha to kahuna through their bia. Tana Rabbanan ben Teisha Shana v'yom Echad. Once the boy is 9 years and a day, he's royal bia. If he's a ger, amoni, moavi, mitzri, adomi, kusi, nasin, cholol, mamzer, all of these, Shembo al Kohenes, that had a relationship with a Bas Kohen, the Al Halavi, or for that matter, the Al Bas Yisrael, is Psaluha. She becomes Psula Likuhuna Bitorezona, because she had this Bia with with someone that she was not allowed to have Bia with. She becomes a Zona because of the Bias Isur. This doesn't apply, Lechora, to the case of a Cholol. Why does the Bia of a Cholol make her into a Zona? That's not a Bias Avera. She becomes a Cholol through his Bia. And the Gemara in Yevamos derives this Halacha from a Pasuk in Vayikra Chaf Beis. It says, Ubas Kohen Kisiel Le'ish Zar. And if that be the case, then although the list seems to exhaust itself with all kinds of bias averos that would passel hala kahuna b'torezona, there does seem to be one exception in the case of chol. That seems to be a special category. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol shezaro posel, posel. Kol she'ein zaro posel, eino posel. Only in the case of a bia, which would, if a child was born to that bia, it would be excluded from kahuna. Such a bia passels a woman to kahuna. Now, when we say kahuna, we mean not only to marry a kohen, but also to eat truma if she's a bas kohen. But if ein zaro posel le kahuna, if as a result of this bia, the child is not posel Likuhuna, then the mother who had this bia is not psula likuhuna. The Gemara is going to explain this. And Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, and here we're turning to Daf Ayin Hayamid Aleph, Kol Sha Atanose Bito Atanose Almenoso, the Kol Sha Iatanose Bito Iatanose Almenoso. And Lechora, we have to understand where Rav Gamliel fits into this picture. What is he adding? What is he subtracting to what we had in the other shitos? And we also want to understand what Rav Yossi is arguing. To what extent is he arguing with the Tana Kama? And the Gemara answers: Ma'i kobein Tana Kama ubein Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yochanan Mitzri Sheni ikobeinayu. The machlokas between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yossi revolves around a Mitzri Sheni, the child that's born to a marriage between a Mitzri Sheni and a Bas Yisrael is a Mitzri Shlishi who's allowed to come into call. And in such a case, Rabbi Yossi would say that she, who was married to this Mitzri Sheni, that bia is not a bia poselis, according to Tana Kama, since this Mitzri Sheni at this point is also lovel of a call, his bia pasel sola kuhuna. And the wife of a Mitzri Sheni is psul lakuna, but Rabbi Yossi holds that you need zaro pasel lakuna. And here the zera of this marriage is a Mitzri Shlishi, such a bia therefore doesn't pasel a lovel of a call. Ushneim lolom dua elamiko in gadol v'almana. And the machlokas between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yossi revolves around the paradigm of kohen gadol talmana. The Torah says that when a kohen gadol has a relationship with an almana, and this is in Vayikra Chaf Aleph, it says lo yechalil zaro biyamav, which means two things. Number one, that the zera becomes a cholal lekuhuna, an asur lekuhuna, and number two, that she herself, who, the almana herself who had a relationship with this kohen gadol, she herself becomes a cholal and asur lekuhuna. Tanakama sover ki kohen gadol bialmana, that using this paradigm of kohen gadol bialmana, that the kohen gadol now passes this almana lekuhuna with his bia. Ma kohen gadol bialmana should be also bavera. Uposel ba. And it makes up psul lekuhuna because of the bias avera. Kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almana, and that bias is a bias avera. It passes all lekuhuna. Af kol should be also avera posel. Therefore, if a mitzri sheni is not allowed to have relations with a bas yisrael, that's a bias avera, and that generates as far as this his wife, the wife of the mitzri sheni, a psul kahuna, a shem zona. Rabbi Yossi Sover, no, let's go back to this paradigm. Kohen Gadol bi'almana, what's the case of Kohen Gadol? Kohen Gadol bi'almana, ma Kohen Gadol bi'almana, shezaro posul. In the case of Kohen Gadol almana, the zera is posul, as we saw, v'lo yichal zaro bi'amov, is af kol shezaro posul, any bias isu which could create zera posul lakuna, that passes the woman who had the bia. Rafuki, but that's the exclusion of Mitzri Sheni, Shein Zara Posel. The child of this relationship is a Mitzri Shlishi, is allowed to come Lakol. The Omar Kro, Bonim Hashel Yivodulem, Tor Shlishi Avolahem, Bekal Hashem. The Torah explicitly allows a Mitzri Shlishi, this is in Parashas Ki Seitze, to marry into Kal Yisrael. And if Ein Zara Posel, says Rabbi Yossi, such a Bia is not a Bias. Then we go back to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the third shita in this brisa. He formulates a klal of kol shatanose bito, atanose almenoso, v'kol shiatanose es bito, iatanose almenoso. It sounds like a repeat of Rabbi Yossi. My ikobain Rabbi Yossi, l'Rav Shimon Gamliel. What are they arguing about? Omar ula ger almoni umoavi ika beinaihu. A ger amoni moavi, who has a relationship with a Jewish girl, would he pasul bibia? According to Rabbi Yossi, the child of this marriage relationship, or of this bia relationship, is pasul lekuhuna, and therefore she becomes psul lekuhuna. Comes along Rabbi Shimon, and he says that it depends upon bito. In other words, the question is, what child was born to this relationship between the ger amoni and a Jewish girl? If the child was a male, then that male has the status of yuchsei aviv, because it was biyasa bavera, and therefore the ger gives birth to an amoni. A ger amoni. The child, if it's a boy, is a ger amoni. He's not allowed to marry into Kali. So therefore the bia between the ger amoni, the father, and this Jewish girl, passes hola kahuna. However, if the child of this relationship between a ger amoni and a Jewish girl was a female, she becomes an amonis, and the Torah says, lo yovo amoni bekal Yisrael, and not Amonis. In other words, the Bas of this relationship between a Ger Almoni and a Bas Yisrael is allowed to marry into Kahal Yisrael. And therefore, the mother, the wife of this Ger Almoni, is not Psul of Bia, according to Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon says the Psul of the mother through the Bia depends upon the Psul of the Bas. If there's no Psul in the Bas, there's no Psul in the Aim. Ushneim lo lamdu elami kohen gadol balmon. Again, this machlokas hinges on how do you learn the paradigmic case of kohen gadol almona, where the Torah says that the child of the relationship between a kohen gadol almona is a cholol, and she, the almona herself, the mother of this child, is also a cholola. Rabbi Yossi Savar ki kohen gadol balmona, ma kohen gadol balmona zaro posel, and therefore posel. A boy who is born from this relationship between a kohen gadol almana is posel lekuhuna, and so too af kol shezaro posel posel, the almana who's married to the kohen gadol is psul lekuhuna. So too a woman who's married to a ger amoni or moavi is posel, is psul lekuhuna, because the zera in the case of a male is Pasul Lakuna. Rav Shimon Gamliel goes back to the drawing board, the paradigmic case, Kemo Kohen Gadol Bal Mona, Ma Kohen Gadol Bal Mona, Shekol Zaro Pasul. Meaning a child born to the relation between a Kohen Gadol and Almona, whether it's male or female, is Pasul or Psula Lakuhuna. And that's what we mean, kol zaro posul, is af kol, any case of kol zaro posul, which includes afilu nikevos, is that's when the mother becomes psula through the bial. Afuke, in the case of ger amoni mo'avi, that's not a kol zaro posul. Why did nikevos havuk sheros lovable kol diomer mar, based on the posul, yovo amoni mo'avi b'kal Hashem, Amoni velo amonis, Moavi velo Moavis. So it's not called Zaro Pasul. That's the chiddush of Rav Shimon Gamliel. That in order to pasul the woman, the niveles in this bia of the relationship, you've got to have a kol Zaro Pasul. That it has to be similar to Kohen Gadol, the almana, which is kol Zaro Pasul. That doesn't apply in the case of a ger amoni. That doesn't apply to the case of a ger amoni to Yisrael, because a ger amoni to Yisrael, insofar as the child of this relationship is a female, she's allowed to, she's an amonis, and she's allowed to marry into Kal Yisrael. It's not kol zaro posel, and therefore it's not posel bibidioso. Now the Gemara wants to know what happens in the case of a woman who marries a Safek Cholol, and then her husband, the Safek Cholol, dies. She's called an Almana Safek Cholol. Is she allowed to marry a Kohen? What's the status of what's called the famous case of Almanas Yisom Rav Chizda HaKol Modim? All these Tanoim that we mentioned in the Brice agree, Almanas Isa Shepsula Lakuna, that just like her husband, who passed away, but during his lifetime, what was his status? He was a Safek Cholol, and a Safek Cholol we have to treat L'chumra as a Cholol, and therefore her bia was with a Cholol. As we said before, everyone agrees in the Braisa that if a Jewish girl has a relation with a Cholol, she becomes a Cholola. Here the only difference is that she had a relation with a Safek Cholol, but a Safek Cholol has the status L'chumra of a Cholol, and she therefore has the status L'chumra of an Ivelis L'Cholol. And Rav Chizda proves this. He says, Man Mekil Bahani Tanoi, who is the greatest Mekil of all these three Tanoim? Rav Shimon Gamliel, who holds that a woman who is married to a Ger Amoni Moavi is not Psula Lakuna, Uka Omar. And yet he's the one who says, Kol Sha Atanose Bito Atanose Almanoso, Vakol Shi Atanose Bito I Atanose Almanoso, Lim Ute Mai, Lim Ute Almonas Isa Shapsula Lakuna. In other words, if this Safek Cholol had a relationship with a Bas Yisrael, and from that relationship they had a daughter, she too has the status of a Safek Cholol. She's not allowed to marry Cohen, and therefore her mother becomes Psula through the Bia, even according to the most Makel of all the Shittas in these Tanoim in the Brice of Reb Shimon Gamliel. Lafuki minahadi Tanoi, but you should know that not every Tana agrees that Almonas Isa is Psul Lakuna, because we're soon going to see that according to Rabbi Yeshua, this now we learned in the Mishnah in Edios, Hayid, the Mishnah testifies, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yudah ben Beseira Almonas Isa, Shek Shera Lakuhuna, that the Almona, who is married to a Safek Chol, is allowed to marry now after her husband dies a Kohen. And the beer that she had with this Safek Chol does not make up Psula Lakuna. My timer, why is this so? Sfek Sfeka. In other words, the Cholol himself is only a Safek. Now she has another Safek. Did she become a Psula? And even though you'll tell me that that's not really logically a Sfek Sfeka, because her status really depends upon one and only one Safek, namely the Safek of this Cholol. And this is to the exclusion of the Shita, the Baal Amar, about Almanas Isa, which, if we have a chance, we'll mention. But leaving out that shita, if we assume that the safek cholol is a safek cholol, he has only one safek, his wife, her status lechora is identical to his. In other words, if he's a cholol and she's a cholola, so why is there a svek svek here? And how does Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yehuda apply the din of svek svek lekula? It's only one safek. And the answer is because with regard to the almona, she comes with her cheskas kashrus, and that creates a whole new safek. Meaning, when you're dealing with a safek on one gavra against the cheskas kashrus, so to the extent in which this safek chol, we don't know the status of his birth. Meaning, was he born to a woman? Was his mother already a grusha? Did she receive the get before she conceived him, or only after she conceived him? We don't know. So he's born into this world without a cheskas kashrus, and therefore his status of a safek chol is enough to aser him. But how do you impose a safek of that sort on the almana? Because she certainly was born, and she was always a ksheira, so she had a cheskas kashrus. So when we go from one gavra to the other, we go from one safek to adding another safek. And these are defined as two distinct spekas, and therefore we could apply the principle of svek sveka. Now, as I indicated before, there's another approach amongst the Rishonim as to what exactly is the case of Almanas Isa, and what was the status of this Safek Cholol. And some Rishonim learn, Rashi quotes it in Ksubis in the name of Rabbi Yosef Tov Elim, and if I remember correctly, it's also a Shita the Balmar, but I have to double check that, is that this man was a Svek Sveka, Nisgarsho Imo B'Safek Gerishin. We don't even know if the get that was delivered to the mother of this Safek Cholol was in fact a kosher get. Let's say, for example, it was Safek Karv Lo, Safek Karv Lo. These are various cases of Safek Gerishin. And not only that, we don't know if he was conceived before that Safek get was given. So this Almanas Isa's husband was himself a Svek Sveka. And therefore, even though we're going to be Machmir as far as the child is concerned, but nevertheless, according to Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, we could be Mekil for her. And then we take the Gemara literally Svek Sveka. We don't have to say all the Lumdus and all the Torah that we indicated before. And now, we mentioned before that according to the analysis of Rav Chisda, even Rav Shimon Gamliel would agree that Almanas Isa's psul kahuna. And why is that? Because Iata Nose Es Alminoso, Iata Nose Es Bito, that the Bas herself is Asura Lekahuna. Now, that's an interesting question. Why is the Bas Asura Lekahuna? It could be that even if you hold Almanas Isa is Muteres, nevertheless, Bas Almanas Isa is Asura. And that's a sugya in Ksubas Daf Yudalid to differentiate between the mother and the daughter. The mother has a cheskas kashrus. The daughter, however, is born into a suffix situation. She doesn't have a cheskas kashrus. And then there's a whole issue about whether or not we could be mati the daughter with a svek svek. Our sugi, in any event, seems to be assuming that the bas is definitely asura. She does not have a cheskas kashrus from her birth. And therefore, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the mother ipso facto is psula through this bia, because iatanose is bito, iatanose is almanoso. Now, let's go back to our Mishnah for a moment. Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah says, Vadon bivadon mutas, sveikam bisveikon is asur, sveikam vadon is asur. Om Rabbi Yudam Arav halacha ki Rabbi Eliezer. We can only be mater vadoim to marry each other. So a mamzer is allowed to marry a mamzer, a nosin is allowed to marry a nosin, a nosin is allowed to marry a mamzer, but not in cases of sveikos. So Rabbi Yehuda, after quoting this statement in the name of Rav, he adds, Ki amrisa kameh de Shmuel, when I told over this psak halacha in the name of Rav to Shmuel, Omar Lee, he said, Hillel, Shona Asara Yuchsin Olumi Bava Vakulam Mutarim Zebaze. Hillel, in a Brisa, that's why Rashi learns it, states that with regard to the Asara Yuchsin who came with Ezra and Aliyat Herzl from Bavel, is Mutarim Lavo Zebaze, which means that he was Matir, even Psule Safek. Because included in the list, we have Shtuki and we have Asufi, which are Sfeikis. The At Amrit Halacha Kirabi Eliezer. In other words, it would seem from Hillel that we paskin like the Chachomim, not like Rabbi Eliezer. How do you paskin like Rabbi Eliezer? So it seems that we have now a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. According to Rav, all the psulim, mitzad Sufik, like Shtuki and Asufi, are Asurim Bevadoin, and all Psulim of Suffolk are Asurim with other Sfeikas, and we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. Shmuel, on the other hand, holds a kol Psulim Utarim Zebezeh, like Hillel in the Brisa. Virami Adarav, Derav Adarav. The Gemara now presents a contradiction between one statement of Rav, namely the statement of Rav in the context of that Mishnah, we paskin l'chumra like Rabbi Eliezer, and another statement of Rav, where we're going to see that Rav is mekil in the case of the Vlad, and bimata the Vlad to Mamzeres. We're talking about a Shtuki, and Rami the Shmuel is mekil in our Mishnah like Hillel in the Brisa, and the Shtuki is allowed to marry a Mamzer, and we're going to have a Chumra of Shmuel, which contradicts it. The Itmar, because we learned Arusa She'ibra, if an Arusa became pregnant during that 12-month period of time between Erisin and Nisuin, and the child of such a relationship, if she didn't have a relationship with her own Arus, and again, here's a case where we do not know, we do not recognize the identity of the Boel, we have no idea, this pregnant Arusa, who is the Boel, is Rav Havlad Mamzer. Thus, we're going to assume that Achrei Rabim Lahatos, the Boel, was anybody in the world but the Arus, that's the Rove, and therefore the child is a Mamzer. Because even though she's only an Arusa, the child of such a relationship out of wedlock of another man is adultery, it's an Iser Misa, and the child is a Mamzer. Shmuel says, Omar Havlad Shtuki, which means he's only a Suffolk Mamzer. We don't know if she had Bia with the Arus and the Vlad is a Kosher, or maybe with someone else and the Vlad is a Mamzer. And therefore we define the status of this child as a Shtuki. Rav Omar Kim Mamzer. Rav says that the child is a Mamzer. We base ourselves on the Rove and assume that someone from the Velt had relationships with this Arusa. Umutar b'Mamzeres. Here Rav is going to be Mekil and allow the child to be married off to Mamzeres. Shmuel Amar Vlad Shtuki v'Asur b'Mamzeres. So we see that Rav being Matir, the child to a mamzeres, he's assuming that since there's a good suffix here, a very good chance that the bia, the boel, was from the velt, and therefore the child might be a mamzer. And now he's saying mutam mamzeres, as Rav is saying that a suffix mamzer has the status of a vade mamzer to be matir marriage between a mamzer and a mamzer, and that really reflects the sheet of the Tanakam of that Mishnah, which contradicts Rav's own statement that Halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, who says that a Suffolk Mamzer is not allowed to marry a Vade Mamzer. We additionally have a stira here in Shmuel, because Shmuel is saying that the Vlad is a Suffolk Mamzer, in this case of an Arusa She'ibra, and is not allowed to marry a Mamzer, and that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, when Shmuel himself paskin like the Tanakama, based on the Rice of Hillel. So the Gemara answers, Epuch, we're going to have to change the girsa of this Itmar that we learned. And we're going to have to say that Rav Omar Havlad Shtuki, Rav is going to be consistent with his shita, paskin like Rabbi Eliezer and our Mishnah, that in the case of Arusa She'ibra, the Vlad is a shtuki and not allowed to marry a mamzeres, because we're not matir suffig with Vadai. Shmuel omer Avlad mamzer. Shmuel l'shitoso, paskin like the Tanakhama v'am Mishnah, like Hill and the Braisa, is matir the Vlad, the Torah's suffig mutir b'Vadai. And therefore the Vlad is allowed to marry a mamzeres. The Gemara asks, Tarti Lomali, if that be the case, then this Itmar is just reiterating what we saw in the original Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So we have Rav and Shmuel, the old Machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. Tzricha. The Itmar Baha, if we would only have the Machlokas, Shin Rav and Shmuel about our Mishnah Tanakhama, Rabbi Eliezer, who do we paskin like? Rav paskins like the Rabbi Eliezer Lechumra, and Shmuel like the Tanakhama Lechula. We would say that, but Hakama Rav, when does Rav paskin Lechumra like Rabbi Eliezer? Because there's a real suffik, Mishum Derov Ksherim Etzla. In other words, the case here is a Pnuya Shezinsa, and we don't know who the Boel is. And that's called, and the child is called a shtuki. That's a real suffek, and there's a real serious reason to doubt whether the child is possible and has the same status as a mamzer. Therefore, we should be machmir, assuming that Rov tells me that the boel was a kosher. Most of the men in the world that she could have had beer with, again, we're not talking about goyim now, we're talking about at least amongst Jews, would be ksherim. Therefore, we have to be machmir and aser on a mamzeres aval hosman in the case of an arusa she'ibra derov psulim etzla, right? 99.999 etc. percent of the world are psulim, and therefore the child is a mamzer. Amai might think mode lishmuel, we could be matir and mekil, allowing this vlad of the shtuki Arusa she'ibra to marry a mamzeres. The itmar b'hach, and if we only had the machlokas in the itmar of the second formulation, we would say b'ha, in this case of an arusa she'ibra is kama rav. Rav says that the vlad is a shtuki and is not allowed to marry mamzeres mishum de'ikol mitlei baris. There's a very strong logic to assume that the vlad is not a mamzer because probably she would have had bia with her arus. Amal beha. But in the case of our mishnah of a pnuya shenis abra, there we don't have any real reason to assume that she dafkat bia, she had a znus with a kosher. This strong logic that would dictate that she had bia with her mamzer apostle, and therefore ema modi l'shmuel. Maybe here in this case, Rav would be mekil and allow, like Shmuel, that the vlad of this pnuya shezinsa would be allowed to marry a mamzeres tzricha. Therefore, we have to repeat the machlokas Rav and Shmuel, both in the case of pnuya and in the case of arusa. Ebois Emo, now the Gemara comes to an entirely different understanding of how to reconcile the so-called contradiction in Rav and in Shmuel. Ebois Emo Liolam Lo Tepuch. You don't have to change the gears of the Itmar. And according to Rav, in the case of Ubra She'ibra, the Vlad is a Mamzer and is allowed to marry a Mamzeres Ushmuel. Ushmuel, the Vlad is a Shtuki and is prohibited from marrying a mamzeres umay mamzer to come a rav. But now we have to reinterpret the word mamzer according to Rav. When Rav says that the child of an arusa she'ibra is a mamzer, lav mutar b'mamzeres. He didn't mean to go as far as to say that his status is that of a vadei mamzer, he's allowed to marry a mamzeres. Ela the asur v'bas Yisrael. He was just simply saying that the vlad is a suffek, is considered a suffek mamzeres, right, if it's a female, and would not be allowed to marry Yisrael, or if the vlad is a male, he's considered like a mamzer lechumra, and he cannot marry a bas Yisrael. but we're not going to matter him to a mamzer mamzeres. It's a double whammy isur. There's a very great chumrah here to the case of the child born to an arusa she'ibra. We're going to have to assume l'chumra that the child is a mamzer, and we're going to have to ask him in babas yisrael. On the other hand, since it's still begetter safek, we cannot allow this so-called mamzer to marry a mamzeres because the possibility that she had beer with the arus. And now we can interpret Shmuel in a way that there's no stira. Ushmuel amar avlad shtuki. What did he mean by saying that the vlad is a shtuki? The asur bibas Yisrael. But he indeed l'shitaso. He was making like the Tanakama based on Hillel that we could be matir a shtuki to a mamzeres. And therefore, he would say that although the shtuki is not allowed to marry a bas Yisrael because of the Sofik mamzeres, mamzerut, nevertheless, the shtuki is allowed to marry a mamzeres because sveikon bevadon are mutter, according to the Tanakhama, and that's how Shmuel paskins. Ihochi, so the Gemara says that if Shmuel asks this vlad of the arusa sheibra to a bas Yisrael, hainu de Rav, he's not in any way arguing with Rav, because Rav, we said, also was machbir and asks the vlad to a bas Yisrael. If I understand the Gemara's kasha, the way we're reinterpreting now the words of Rav, that the vlad of this arusa shibra is a mamzer, that what it means is when Rav says a vlad mamzer, he didn't mean to say that the vlad is a mamzer, which would be mata the vlad to a mamzeres, but rather the vlad is a suffolk, and Rav Lashitoso holds that a suffolk is not allowed to marry a mamzer. But basically, all Rav was really saying is that this child cannot marry a bas Yisrael because of the suffolk mamzerus. Shmuel also agrees that the vlad, as far as a bas Yisrael, is a suffolk, and therefore is a shtuki. So they're both basically defining the vlad here as a suffolk. Again, the nafkamina is going to be whether or not this suffolk as a shtuki now can marry a mamzeres or cannot marry a mamzeres. Rav l'shitoso holds, like Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah, that suffolk bevade is also, so the vlad can't marry a mamzer. Shmuel l'shitoso holds that we pass like the Tanakhama when matir a suffolk b'mamzer, so the shtuki, this bas allowed to marry a mamzer, or if it's a male is allowed to marry a mamzeres b'torah shtuki. But that's again the old machlokas. So we wanted to see a new machlokas here about the status of the vlad of an arusa she'ibra. So the Gemara says, Elamai shtuki, what is Shmuel trying to be machadish here in the case of a bas arusa? Shtuki means she'meshaskin oso midin kahuna. In other words, if there's some reason to claim that the arus was the boel and the arus himself is a kohen, and she, the Arusa Shinisabra, points to the Oris and says that he's the father of this child, that would make the child into a Kohen. And the question is whether he has a status of Chezkas Kohen to assume that he's Meyuchas to his father. Ishmuel says he's a Shtuki. In that sense, he's a Shtuki. In other words, on the one hand, Shmuel is going to be Matir the child to marry a bas Yisrael, if I understand correctly, but the child doesn't have the status of a kohen. So Gemara says pshit. I mean, Shmuel did not have to tell us this. I mean, a shtuki hashta midin Yisrael meshaskinon. Oh, so not the way I said it, that this vlad is allowed to marry Yisrael, but that the vlad is a shtuki. Now, you want to know if the vlad has the status of a kohen? Well, the Gemara says, pshita, if the vlad has the status of a shtuki, which means he's not allowed to marry a bas Yisrael, because we assume that the father may be the Arus of maybe someone else, and that someone else is apostle, is that midin kahuna mi boy? Is there any need for Shmuel to tell me that he's a shtuki as far as kahuna is concerned? So what was Shmuel adding here by calling the Vlad a shtuki? If the Vlad is Osir v'bas Yisrael, and Rav also agrees that the Vlad is Osir v'bas Yisrael, Ella, the question is whether we can be matir to Mamzeres, which as we said is the old Machlokas. So what is Shmuel telling me here? Oh, I discovered America here. The Vlad is a shtuki midin kahuna. Even though he and she are testifying that they are the parents of this child and he is a Kohen. So his father's a Kohen, maybe let the child be a Kohen. No, Shmuel tells me, Mishaskin also. Well, why is that a Chiddush over here? Elomai Shtuki, Shemesashkin also, Minichse Aviv. What status does this child have if his father dies and leaves possessions as an estate for Yerusha? Does the child have the right to claim the possessions of his so-called father as a Yoresh? He's the heir to this man. And the answer is that we won't accept the child's taina when he comes in front of Beis Din to claim the Yerusha because we don't know that the father is the father. Pshita, mi adinon avua manu. How do we know who the father is? Lo tzricha ditofas. Now, I believe that this case has to be a case where the father, before he died, did not say a word. He did not claim or admit that he's the father of the child. I think if he did so, then Neman Aviv, the father is believed to say Zebini. And in Yakir, he's even believed to give him Pishnayim. Therefore, I would suggest that here's a case where the father, before he died, didn't get a chance to identify the child as his own. What would be today that we have DNA testing? I don't know. The mother claims that she had beer with the Arus, who's a Kohen. Nevertheless, if there are other Yorshim, when this Boel, or potential Boel, we don't know his status, the Suffolk Boel, dies, the son of the mother, who the mother identifies as the son of the father, would not be able to claim inheritance to his father. Pshita, mi adin avu amaylo tzricha detofas. It means, let's say after the Arus died, and the child claims that he is the son of the Arus, he went ahead and he grabbed the possessions, and you might think he tofas lo mafkina minei, that if we have a Suffolk Yoresh who grabs the Yerusha, and the other Yoreshim are Vada Yoreshim, they cannot take it away from him because he has the status of a Suffolk. And nevertheless, we apply the principle of Motziro Sobiyoda because ain't Suffolk Motzim de Vada. The other Yoreshim are definitely children, sons of this former father, right? Of their late father. But he is in a Suffolk situation. So Shmuel wants to tell you that in this case, a Suffolk is like nothing, and Tfisa doesn't work besides Suffolk. We could be Motzi Miyado. Yivoyseim, another interpretation of Shmuel's Shtuki. My Shtuki, what did Shmuel have in mind when he called the child a Shtuki? Beduki. Shebodkim es imo. Ve'omeres l'koshin evalti nemenes. That Shmuel is basically paskinly like those Tanoim, like Rabbi Gamliel in the Mishnah in Ksubis, that she is believed to identify the Boel. And if she says that the Boel was this Kosher, was this Arus, let's say, then we believe her. Kiman, says the Gemara, Rabbi Gamliel, Homar, Shmuel, Chadazimna, Shmuel already went on record in Ksubis, Tisnan, and the Mishnah in Ksubis. In the case of Hoysam Uberes, V'yomrlo Mativishal Uberzeh, Me'ish Ploni V'Kohenu, we ask the pregnant woman out of wedlock, who is the father? She says, Kosher, Amiuchas, and she's believed, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer, Omer Nemenes, Rabbi Yeshua, Omer, Einen Nemenes, we don't believe her to say, L'Kosher, Nevalti, Omer, Rabbi Yudah, Mishmal, Lok, Rabbi Gamliel. So she does have Nemenes to identify the Boel. Says Gemara, Tzricha Teimi Hosam Hava Mina Hosam Rov Ksherim Etzav Ahocha Rov Psulim Etzav. In the case of a Pnuya, that's the subject of the Machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua in Ksuvis. A Pnuya is Rov Ksherim Etzav. But here, in the case of an Arus, it's Rov Psulim Etzav. Maybe she's not believed. So Shmuel wants to say that Rabbi Gamliel would have gone even a step further. Not only in the case of Pnuya would he be matir based on Hanemanus and allow her to marry a Kohen, allow the child to marry a Kohen, but even in the case of an Arusa Shenisabra, where Rov Psulim Etzla, she would be believed to identify the Boel as her Arus and allow the child to marry a Kohen. The Mishnah over there in Ksubas wants to tell you the Chumer of Rabbi Yeshua, that even in the case of Rov Ksheir Metzah, Rabbi Yeshua says, my loss of a Yuchsin, and the child of this pregnant Pnuya is allowed to is not allowed to marry a Kohen, despite the fact that Rov Ksheir Metzah. The Gemara now wants to go back to the issue of Kusim that's mentioned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Loza says in our Mishnah that Kusim Asurim Linase Zebazeh, Tanya the Tosefta is going to shed a light on this sheet of Rabbi Elazar. V'chein Rabbi Elazar Omer Kusi Lo Yisa Kusis. You would have thought that all Kusim are in the same boat, they all have the same status. Either they are Ksherim or they're not Ksherim, either they are Gerim or they're not Gerim, let them marry each other. And the Gemara says, my Taima, why is Rabbi Elazar so machmir, such that he says a kusi can't marry a kusis? And Tosis himself is bothered. What is Gemara asking him? After Rabbi Elazar himself is of the opinion that Mishnah, that sveka v'sveka asur. But the answer is that kusi is different than other svekas, because either they're ksherim or they're psulim. In other words, he can't be mechalik l'chor between one kusi and the other. They all have the same status. So that's not like a case of Suffolk to Suffolk, where this one might indeed be a mamzer, this one might be a kosher, you're marrying off a kosher to a mamzer. On Rav Yosef, Asa Ua, Kiger Liachar Asara Doros. So when we ask my timer, we're asking, why is it that Rabbi Lozar is asering one kusi with another to marry each other? And the answer is, we're going to compare it to the case of a Mitzri. Forget about a Mitzri, I'm sorry. Just a regular Ger. You know, we'll get to Mitzri another time. Tisanya Ger Adasara Doros Mutar B'mamzeres. Even though we're saying that Kal Ger Meni Nikra Kol, and therefore a Ger is allowed to marry a Mamzeres, that's only up to a certain point. After 10 generations from this original Ger, Mikan V'Elech, Osir B'Mamzeres, the Rabbanan said that the children, even though technically according to the Doraisa law, are Gerim, but who knows that they're Gerim? After 10 generations, who's going to remember that 10 generations ago, you know, 100, 200 years ago, it's probably more than 200 years, right? Let's say 200 years ago, their ancestors were Gerim. Who's going to remember that? And therefore, it means that the spectator who sees this Jewish girl marrying a mamzer, or this Jewish boy marrying a mamzeres, they don't know that it's because of Gerus. And they're going to come to think that, you know what, you're allowed to marry a mamzer, you're allowed to marry a mamzeres. Yesh omrim, achishtake, sheim avodis kochav mimena. Up until the point in which nobody remembers the Gerus. It's no longer your dua that this is a Ger. That might take even more than Asara Doros. Who knows? And up until that point, we're going to allow a marriage to a mams and mamzeres. But after they forget the shame akum that way back when there was a gerus, and from that time on, the rabbanon are going to prohibit a mamzer. And the same thing now, midrabbanon, is going to apply to a kusi. Who's going to remember that the ancestors were kusim? Oh, but Amalei Abaye Midomi, Hasam Ger Yoshan. There, many generations have passed. And therefore, Mamzeres Chadosha, everybody knows that this person, this girl, is a Mamzeres. Is therefore Amri, the spectators will say, Vas Yisrael, the Konosim Mamzeres, that Bar Yisrael, a Jewish boy, they don't know he's a ger, is marrying a mamzeres. Hacha, but here, as far as Kusi, Idivi, Idiki, Adodi, Ninhu, they both have the same exact status. Anyone who remembers that they're Kusim will remember that both Kusim. Anyone who forgot that they're Kusim will assume that they're Yisraelim. So what's your fear about their intermarrying one Kusi with another? Ella, therefore, the Gemara says, Ki Osir Avdimi Omar. He says a different shot in Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, Savala Ki Rabbi Yishmael, the Rabbi Eliezer who prohibits Kusa marrying each other, he holds like Rabbi Yishmael. And here we're turning to Daf Ayin Hey Omid Beis. Rabbi Yishmael, Savala Ki Rabbi Akiva. And there's a whole chain here. Rabbi Lazar agrees to Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel agrees to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Lazar, Sava Kit, Rabbi Shmuel, the Amar Kusim, Gere, Arayos, Heim, meaning that the Torah, the Halacha, does not recognize their Gerus. They only were Mizgaya out of fear, and they had no real, genuine, sincere Kabbalah's old mitzvahs. The Gerus is not Gerus, therefore they have the status of Goyim. And if they get married to a Bas Yisrael, then the halacha is that Akum Shebal Bas Yisrael, we have to see exactly what the status of the child is. Rabbi Yishmael, okay, so Rabbi Lazar agrees to Rabbi Yishmael that the Gerus of Kusim is not to be recognized. And therefore the Kusim are Goyim. Sovar La Ki Rabbi Akiva, the Omar Akum, the Eved Abba, Bas Yisrael, Avlad Mamzer. Rabbi Akiva holds that there's Mamzer even from Chayvei Lavim. And therefore the child of the marriage between a Bas Yisrael and an Akum is a Mamzer. And therefore every single Kusi is included in this Safek that maybe is a descendant of a marriage between a Bas Yisrael and a Kusi, which means Akum V'Evet Abal Bas Yisrael. If a Jewish girl has relations with a non-Jew, according to Rabbi Akiva, the child is a Mamzer, and therefore we always have to treat the Kusim as a Safek Mamzer. We cannot allow one Kusi to marry another Kusi. Now the Gemara claims we have a very solid understanding of the Shita Rabbi Lazar in our Mishnah, based on a combination of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Lezer accepts Rabbi Shmuel Geri Arayasim, so the Kusim are Goyim. And therefore, whenever we have a Kusi or a Kusis, we don't know, perhaps there was some admixture of Jewish blood there. But you're assuming that Rabbi Shmuel accepts Rabbi Akiva and the Vlad of a relation between a Mamzer and a Bas Yisrael is a Mamzer. Mi Savala Rabbi Shmuel ka Rabbi Akiva. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Minayin Lovit Kochom Vevet Shebo Al Kohenes Al Avi Al Bas Yisrael Sheposlua Shenemar Ubas Kohen Kisi Al Mono Grusha V'Zera Ein Lo V'Shav Al Beis Avi Al Kinurea Milechem Avi Al Sochel V'Chol Zara Lo Yochel Bo. So Bas Yisrael, in this case, who has no Zera from her husband, who she became an almana, or she was a grusha, she's allowed to go back to Beis Avi and Truma. Misha yesh lo almanus v'gerishin, yotza ovi kocham v'yevet she'en lo almanus v'gerishin, v'yisal kadayt k'sovar lo k'rabi Akiva, hashta mamzer havi mifsal b'biyaso miboy, hashta mamzer havi mifsal b'biyaso miboy. So the Gemara basically proves, and this we're going to go over in Mirtz Hashem Be'iyun in the next Shia, that Rabbi Shmuel could not possibly hold like Rabbi Akiva. And therefore our explanation of Rabbi Lazar, assuming that Rabbi Lazar is standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel in turn agrees and adopts the position of Rabbi Akiva about Akum V'Evet Abbas Yisrael, that's not something acceptable. And that's going to force the Gemara to reinterpret Rabbi Lazar under a different understanding of why Kusi is also the Kusis, based on the assumption that Kusim Geri Arayasim, and that's going to be revisited in Mirtz Hashem, Behem Shechasugya. And that's what we'll pick up in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow.